Hello and welcome to this Bible bit. What I want to do in this short time is to briefly examine the idea that God is an advocate for the needy and the lowly. He is, you know. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 31, we have a really impressive verse. 14:31, "He who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker, but he who is gracious to the needy honors him." Now we know from the description of the subject being the poor and the needy, we know that this is broader than just someone who is poor in terms of money or resources. I think it extends into the spiritual needy as well, into the outcast, the disenfranchised, the marginalized in society. You know who these are. Many times they are, in fact, poor. But I don't think that's a broad enough definition. I think it needs to be broader than that. These are people who are, they can be poor in terms of health. They can be poor in terms of relations. They can be poor in many ways. But, and again, it's the broader sense. But what is this saying, verse 31? "He who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker, but he who is gracious to the needy honors him." It's saying if you hurt, if you take advantage of the lowly and the needy and the outcast, if you hurt them, you are mocking God. You are offending the Almighty. Let's jump ahead a few chapters to chapter 22 of Proverbs, and we'll look at another interesting point. And it says in chapter 22 of Proverbs in verse 2, "The rich and the poor have a common bond. The Lord is the maker of them all." God made both. God made both the person who is a success and who is comfortable and who doesn't suffer from oppression or persecution or the vagaries of life. And he's also made that individual who finds themselves in their lives seemingly constantly suffering and being downcast and being thrown down in society, being on the margins. Solomon in Proverbs says, God made both of those people. The implication is both are important to him. Both are important to him. Well, let's look back at Psalms. Let's flip back to Psalms and we'll stop at Psalm chapter 10. Psalm 10. And we'll look at verse 14. Verse 14. "You have seen it, and you've beheld mischief and vexation to take it into your hand." This is the psalmist, which is David, talking to God about God. He says, "You see these things, and you act on them. The unfortunate commits himself to thee," it says, "and you have been the helper of the orphan." God does see the needs of the lowly. Well, I want to look at another aspect of how God looks after the lowly. And I want to go over to Psalm 62. And we'll make a couple of stops further in the Psalms. Psalm 62. In fact, what we're going to do is look at Psalm 62 and Psalm 82. And these are very important places to look at the theme of God's special care for the needy and the outcast and the lowly. Psalm 62. And let's read 1 through 5. "My soul waits in silence for God only. From him is my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be greatly shaken. How long will you assail a man, that you may murder him, all of you, like a leaning wall, like a tottering fence? They have counseled only to thrust him down from his high position. They delight in falsehood. They bless with their mouth, but inwardly they curse." Now jump down to verse 9. "Men of low degree are only vanity, and men of rank are a lie. In the balances they go up, they are together lighter than breath. Do not trust in oppression. Do not vainly hope in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart upon them." So now we see another aspect of how God oversees and cares for the lowly, and that is God has actually established authority. God has established authority in leaders, in powerful people in society, with the obligation to look after the lowly. He has asked them to do that. He has put them in place to do that. And what we have here in Psalm 62 is David saying that leaders sometimes fail to do so. They fail in that obligation, in that charge. Look what he says in verse 9. Men of low degree are only vanity, and men of rank are a lie. In the balances they go up, they are together lighter than breath. Verse 10, do not trust in oppression. He's telling the leaders, you're not that special. Just because God has given you a position of leadership doesn't mean you should take advantage of those who are less powerful than you. He says, don't trust in oppression. Don't force, you know, don't throw your weight around. Don't oppress people with your power and your authority. So leaders can lead unjustly. But he says in verse 9 that rank, position, title, power, they're really a lie. The English Standard Version, the ESV, actually has, they are a delusion. That is, they're artificial. They're not real. At the end of the day, titles are important, and we need leaders, and we need, you know, social hierarchy and all that. But in the end, a title doesn't change the person. And David is saying this in the context of you're misusing your authority. And who are you to do that? And in fact, let's jump over to Psalm 82, and we see that very thing said. And this is a psalm of Asaph. And he says, this is a short psalm, Psalm 82, chapter 82. God takes his stand in his own congregation. He judges in the midst of the rulers. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Vindicate the weak and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and destitute. Rescue the weak and needy. Deliver them out of the hand of the wicked. They do not know, nor do they understand. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. I said, you are gods, and all of you are sons of the Most High. And nevertheless, you will die like men and fall like any one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for it is you who possess all the nations. Do you see what's being said here? Verse 3, vindicate the weak and fatherless, do justice to the afflicted, rescue the weak and needy. And then he says in verse 5, they don't know, they don't understand. He's talking about leaders. He's saying leaders don't, when they judge unjustly, when they lead unrighteously, they don't know that they're charged with being righteous. They are charged with helping the lowly, and yet they don't realize it. And then in verse 6, you are gods. And that means, you know, you are authorities. You are powerful. You are leaders. You are something in the world. You're something in society. But you will die just like your neighbor. You're not special. Still in Psalms, let's flip back to Psalm 58. And in Psalm 58, we have another interesting little comment. Chapter 58, verse 1. Do you indeed speak righteousness, O gods? There it is again. Do you judge uprightly, O sons of men? And here David is saying, as Asaph did, you are big shots, you are leaders, and you are charged with judging rightly. You're charged with leading people in such a way that you look out for the lowly, you look out for the destitute. But do you? Do you do so? Let's go back to chapter 82. Let me show you something about leaders in relationship to the outcasts of society. 5 and 6 again, verses 5 and 6. They do not know nor they understand. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. I said you are gods and all of you are sons of the Most High. You have authority from God. You have authority from God, even if you don't know it. And notice also, back up in verse 2, how long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Vindicate the weak and fatherless, do justice to the afflicted and destitute. You know how this reads? It reads as if a leader, whether they know it or not, whether they appreciate it or not, whether they act on it or not, they are commissioned. They not only have authority from God, they're commissioned by God to help people who need help. Well, just a couple more references. still in Psalms, over to Psalm chapter 101. Flip a few pages over to 101. And here we will see David actually express in his writing, in his poem, the fact that he understood this commissioning. Psalm 101, verse 1. I will sing of loving kindness, or mercy, and justice. To thee, O Lord, I will sing praises. Now jump down to 5. Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him will I destroy. No one who has a haughty look and an arrogant heart will I endure. Verse 6. My eyes will be upon the faithful of the land, they will not that they may dwell with me. He who walks in a blameless way is the one who will minister to me. He who practices deceit shall not dwell within my house. He who speaks falsehood shall not maintain his position before me. David says, I will establish my cabinet on mercy and justice, verse 1. We know that he's talking about establishing his cabinet because he says, dwell with me, minister to me, be in my house, and maintain his position, verses 6 and 7. He's talking about his cabinet. David says, I am king, yes, but as I get my helpers around me and my, you know, my aides, they're going to be people who have the same ethos that I do, the same ethos in terms of helping the poor, helping the needy. And lastly, if you know where Kings is, 1 and 2 Kings, flip back there. It's after 1 and 2 Samuel and before 1 and 2 Chronicles. Go back to 1 Kings. We'll look at our last reference. And this is David's son, Solomon, speaking the very same thing that David did. 1 Kings chapter 3. And this is the account where the Lord appears to Solomon, God appears to Solomon, and says, okay, I've made you the king, and I'm here to, this is in a dream or a vision, I'm here to help you, so ask me what you need, and I will give it to you. We see that in verse 5 of chapter 3. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night, and God said, ask what you wish me to give you. And Solomon said, you have shown great loving kindness to thy servant David my father, according as he walked before thee in truth and righteousness and uprightness of heart. And you have reserved for him this great mercy, that you have given him a son to sit on his throne, even this day. And now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. Yet I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. He says, I don't know if I'm coming or going. He says, I'm humbling myself like a little child in front of you. And thy servant, verse 8, is in the midst of your people, which you have chosen, a great people who cannot be numbered or counted for multitude. So give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? Verse 10, and it was pleasing in the sight of the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Solomon says, I know this great charge you've given me, this great commission to lead these people, and I know I'm not really up to it. And I know I need you. And you put me in this position that I did not earn. You granted it to me for the sake of my father David. And I need your help. Who is able, verse 9, give me an understanding heart, verse 9, to judge your people, to discern between good and evil, do you see? To lead in righteousness, to lead in, and he says, to discern between good and evil, for who is able to judge this great people of yours? So that's our Bible Minute. The scripture does tell us God looks out for the lowly. How awesome that is, that God is that kind of God, that he cares about the people who are pushed aside by society, who are disillusioned and disenfranchised and disrespected, and he has put in place people who he charges and he commissions with that responsibility to help govern and help the rights of the lowly and the needy. Isn't he an awesome God? Isn't he an awesome God?